This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, Mom!
Look, Mom, no hands. Get the fan on your smart speaker.
We want it now!
Just say, play WFAN.
Alan, Jerry, don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
How do you say we do this? It's, almost a couple of minutes after 5 o'clock. It is it's Sunday, holy crap.
Easy now.
It's Friday. It's Friday.
Good morning.
We're going to do, you better be ready. So you hear Chris Dillon Lopresti, you're going to be doing cool games today.
Okay.
And that means you have to sing it.
Okay.
So that's coming up.
But just me, solo?
Well, yeah, you're doing the owl roll.
You're right. I'm in the owl seat.
So yep. You're going to be doing that coming up in a little bit.
Boy.
Before we get started, we do a whole bunch because we do have a lot to do.
As always.
When I got into the car, and I think Sal's mad at us, so whatever. We have him here for a couple minutes too, so he can yell at us first. But after that, I heard Bob Uecker with Sal.
Same.
I just had a couple of quick thoughts with Sal. So good morning, Sal Licata. How are you?
Good morning. So, okay, what are your thoughts before I get into something that bothered me yesterday? But what are your thoughts on the Uecker thing?
No. What bothered you? Let's
you know,
get that out
negative.
Of the way first,
oh,
so, and let's end with positive stuff.
So here's the thing. So I see you guys yesterday in the newsroom. No problem, whatever, we're hanging out, talking. And you guys are ripping me for spending so much money going to all these games. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's expensive, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
No, not ripping you. Just saying, damn, dude, he is spending his weekly paycheck on these games.
And by the way, I caught you this morning saying, like, oh, you know, wife and kids, never any free time. And I guess all those Ranger games on your hunt, those don't count.
That's work-related.
Yeah, right.
Exactly,
it's a write-off.
It's exactly right with the wife. Forget the tax guy. That's a write-off. So you guys are giving me crap for spending all the money, whatever. I get in the car and I listen to the warm-up show as always. The first 15 minutes, the both of you are gushing about what a life-changing experience it is.
Yeah.
CeeLo says it's the greatest place in the world to be at Ranger playoff games.
Yes.
You're going on and on and on. And I'm saying, yeah, you knuckleheads, that's why I'm going. That's why I spent the money, because it is the greatest experience that I've ever had as a sports fan. I've been to a Super Bowl. I've been to the World Series.
Yeah.
Rangers playoffs, there's something special. You two are knocking me, and then I hear you for 15 minutes as I'm driving home to start the show. Oh, my God, it's the greatest thing ever, Rangers playoffs at the Garden.
No, your anger is misguided. We're not knocking you for going. It's more like, wow, that's impressive that you got that kind of extra scratch laying around to just go back to, you know, game after game after game.
I'm the pro! Oh,
don't yell at us.
God. Delete that, please. One more thing.
Yeah.
CeeLo in the newsroom's like, oh, yeah, good job bringing up, you know, how old you are and referencing 1986 and the difference. And you're going to make the listeners depressed. And then he goes on for 10 minutes about how he's cleaning up puke from the crevices of his kid's seat. I'm listening to this. He goes on, and Jerry's like, okay, I think we got it. Okay, I think we got it.
I was like, a little too much detail, too much information.
Right. I almost called in, but I knew you already had two calls that it turns out wasn't there yesterday, so I probably should have called in. Anyway, that's all I had to get off my chest.
All right, so real quick, just because I had you, I thought the segment with Bob was awesome this morning, and I forgot this was his last week, and I guess this was his last shift, or maybe tonight is, I don't know.
Last full-time.
Full-time,
sure. This was the last one.
Yeah. And listening to you about the newsroom stories and just Bob was legendary, and that's why I thought you'd be great with the whole Mets stuff. The Met-Yankee stuff with Uecker in the newsroom. Have you ever seen someone, and I even mean Eddie included, that hated the Yankees more than Bob Uecker and almost took as much joy in the Yankees losing as the Mets winning?
No, never in my life. And I said this before, I've never seen a more passionate Mets fan. Well, as passionate as he was about the Mets, that's how much he hated the Yankees. And I mean nicknames for everybody and just ripping guys left and right in the newsroom watching the game. It was hysterical. But no, I've never seen somebody hate the Yankees as much as
you. But you are right, though. Those stories are just... And I texted Sal, like, a bunch of us really should get together and write a book about all just the newsroom stuff, because it was much fun back then. But the reason why I wanted to ask you is, or have you stay on, was something that Bob pointed out at the end, and kind of this, you know, fan 2.0, not to depress anybody.
Oh,
I don't mean, no. I don't mean, that's not to be depressing. It's just, it's a fact of life. It is remarkable when you think about when he's talking about starting in 93 and 30 years, and whatever it was, 92, 93, 30 years. And how you mentioned, and this actually threw me for a loop, when you started in 2003.
You believe that?
You're 9, and I know there was a little vacation here and there, but you're 19 years. Well, whatever. That's 19 years ago.
Yeah.
And then to sit there and say, because I look at you as a very young man still, and you're like, I ain't got 30 years in me. I'm too old. That's depressing.
But I don't. I mean, I'm 42. I'm not going to do this realistically until I'm 72.
Yeah, like, but Jesus, you're already 19 in. You're two-thirds of the way there.
No, but well, I mean...
You're talking about 30 years really, from being like a full-time show host.
Yeah, and I think he's really... I mean, while he had a different type of career at Fan, this is now what he wanted to
do. Yeah, I got you.
And then you're
right, so...
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, I started, but you know how it is. You work your way up. I started as an intern in 2003, and then by the time you get hired, and by the time you come full-time, and then, as you said, the absence, I think I was there for 7 years, then I was away for a couple years, then came back, then left again on my own, then finally back. So, yeah, I mean, it's a long time ago, but this is essentially... So all those years from 2003 to 2021 was getting to the point where I wanted to be a full-time host, which I just got last November.
Crazy.
So this is essentially a new start. There's no way I'm doing this for 30 years. Hmm.
Well, that's depressing. And then last thing for you, because you mentioned the Home Depot and listening to the radio station before you worked here. So that's not the same, but eerily similar in a weird way. When I was in college and before I got here as an intern, I had my meeting with the guidance counselor for my career path when I got to Jersey City State. And I was listening to Mike and Chris in the car waiting for my appointment. I was, you know me, I'm always an hour early. And I listened to them for 45 minutes, went in for my appointment, and the guy had me pegged for NBC, an internship at NBC Sports. I'm like, oh, it sounds interesting. He goes, he's like, it's NBC Sports.
Yeah,
he goes, I'm thinking
deal.
Maybe ESPN after that, and we got a whole bunch of different things. He's like, do you have any ideas? I'm like, no. I'm like, I mean, I love WFAN. I'm like, that's somewhere I always wanted to work. And I'll never forget, he picked up the phone, looked at his Rolodex, called Eric Spitz, and got me the interview on the spot.
That's awesome.
So I went from listening to him calling the newsroom and talking to Eric Spitz. I had the interview with Eric and Eddie a month later, and then I've been here ever since. So very, not Home Depot, but similar in that I used to sit in the car and listen as well. And then
isn't
here we are.
Crazy? Yeah, isn't it crazy? And you forget about it because now we're living, and that's why sometimes people will call up and say, oh, yeah, you know, we like you on the overnights. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, I'm the overnight host? Like, Joe Beningo, Steve Summers, these guys were legendary, and now that's me. And just to tie it up, and then, you know, I'll leave you guys. I don't know if CeeLo had this or Jerry, you did too, but the internship call from Scos.
Awesome.
Like, when he called... Oh, my God. My mom's like, oh, Eddie Scazzeri's on. I was like, like everybody else. The Eddie Scazzeri? What? Like, unbelievable.
See, I didn't get Eddie. I got Spitzy called me.
Yeah, well, it's not the same.
Sal, I'm with you.
It's different, but it was still awesome.
It was an email from Eddie I got totally out of the blue. I had a family member, had a connection to a marketing guy who knew Chernoff. I had no idea if my resume, quote unquote, from college was ever going to get in front of anybody that mattered. I didn't have any way to contact anybody, and it was in March, and all of a sudden I opened up my Quinnipiac email address on a random weekday morning, and there was the email from Eddie Scazzeri, and it was incredible. I'll never forget that.
And look at us now.
Yeah, we made it. At least for now, I guess.
Until we get kicked out. All right, go to bed.
Thank you, guys.
See you,
Sal. Sal Licata with us. So, interesting stuff this morning. Bob Uecker with his last day as a full-time anchor after essentially 30 years here at the radio station. All right, now we start the warm-up show or continue the warm-up show. So a lot to get to, actually, in the next 50 minutes so. And I know it's just another win, but we'll get to the basketball because the whole James Harden thing to me is fascinating on so many different levels. The Mets won yesterday. But the Yankees last night win a game that you're sitting there saying, boy, they blew this lead. And that seventh inning was, when you think about two out, nobody on, walk, walk, walk. And then the flood. And by the way, Gleyber Torres, I mean, 0-2, walks out a walk. Not that it was a great at bat. He didn't fell off a bunch of pitches. He fell off one, but whatever. 0-2, and he winds up walking. And then for him to come around and score from second yes. on a ground ball up this stupid shift is so ridiculous.
It'll be gone soon.
Yes, I know that. But, I mean, just an unbelievable night for a Yankee team that as each passing day goes by, you're sitting there saying, they are just on another level right now. And I know it's only 31 games, but for God's sakes, they're 23-8.
No, and, you know, I've kind of, I don't want to say discredited, but downplayed the record. Hey, we'll see in October. But that type of win and the way in which they won it is the kind of thing that make you feel like maybe there is something a little bit different because of the contributions. It wasn't, I mean, listen, they hit some home runs as well, some bombs.
Yeah, of course.
But piecing together the rally, you know, taking the extra base, working out the walk, contact, balls in play are the types of things.
It's different.
It is. In this case, it was. Now, again, the White Sox bullpen, you know, late inning relief, but beyond their closer, equal to what they're going to see in October, maybe not. And, you know, Tony La Russa didn't exactly have himself a good game managerial-wise and getting to some of the matchups and so on and so forth. But the way in which they put together that rally was impressive. You can't take that away from
it. It was great. And, you know, you also had the guy Dylan Cease.
He struck out 11.
11 of the 12 batters, I think it was Hicks that popped up, and that was pretty much it. I've never seen such a weird box score, like line score like that for a pitcher who, that's all he did.
Stanton got him twice. And the second one was one of those where off the bat, the first one you know is going to be a hit. You don't think it's going into the seats because it was a missile.
Well,
and the second one off
those.
And the second one off the bat, you're thinking,
I thought
maybe.
A flare.
Right, exactly.
I didn't think that was out.
And it was not even over the wall, but actually made it to the grandstand there.
Just the fact, though, that he strikes out 11, you knew he had great stuff last night, and yet still was not able to throw shutout baseball. I mean, if I would have told you this guy strikes out 11 of the 12 outs he records, you would think, damn, did he even give up a hit?
Yeah.
But Stanton, I'll tell you, with that baseball, it looks like he's swinging a toothpick.
It's crazy.
And he just swats at the ball, a couple of home runs. Donaldson caps it off. But it was, I don't know. I'm with you. That's one of those games that you're going to look back to 60-60 rule. That's one. They had a lead, so I'm not saying they shouldn't have won. Clearly.
Yeah, Loaizaga gives up the game-tying home run. He hasn't been great so far.
And then for them to put up the seven runs like they do, and it happened. It's weird to say that a seven-run rally happened quick, but it did.
Yeah.
And there wasn't, like, Donaldson capped it off, but it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't one of those base hit, double base hit, recording out base. There was two out and nobody on.
Next thing you know, it's a seven spot on the board.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And to win on a night where your pitching's not great, which is what has been good right from the start this
year.
Yeah,
you run Luis Gil out there, and, you know, he's not going to give you a lot of length and probably not going to throw a shutout ball. And then one of your better relievers who's not off to a great start gives up a big home run. So we said yesterday, the Orioles were the only team that had scored six against them?
Right.
The White Sox score seven, and no problem, we'll score 15.
And they still win.
Right. And I think, what was it, I think it was like 90 degrees out there last night.
Yes,
and
I know.
Of a sudden, the offense breaks out.
I know when Kay opened up the telecast, the first thing he said, and we've seen this here too, so it's not like it's that big of a surprise. He said Chicago went from winter to summer.
Oh, yeah.
Because it went from cold to, I think it was 91 or something like
91,
that.
Yeah, 91, that's what I saw.
Which was crazy, but kind of cool. The other thing, talking about this kid, Dylan Cease, were you on the game? I know there was a lot going on last night.
Here and there.
Did you like all the lookalikes that they were throwing in throughout the
I did not see those, no.
So they had him, and I thought the best one was, I think Kay came up with it, he reminds him of the W.B. Mason guy
from the
stadium. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Here were a couple throughout the game. I actually wrote them down as they were saying them. They said Daniel Day-Lewis. Okay, fine.
So this was specific to Dylan Cease.
To Dylan Cease.
But with the mustache look. Okay.
Absolutely. The W.B. Mason guy I thought was funny.
Yeah, that's excellent.
They put up a picture of Wyatt Earp, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
The best one, though, that they maybe the fifth or sixth inning they brought it up, Freddie Mercury.
Yes.
I'm like,
oh my God.
That's it.
Yes.
All the other ones were good. That's
the
lookalike.
What? I don't even have to see it. That makes perfect sense.
100% with
because
the short hair.
Because I looked at him. I'm like, this is definitely not his usual look, I don't think. Don't go as far as Cease goes. And we've heard yesterday from Gabe Kapler about the mustache mace.
Yes.
And maybe that's part of it. I don't know. And I was like, okay, he's a younger guy. He's got like a nice tight haircut, shaved head, or so, you know, a buzz cut or whatever. And then there's the mustache.
Yes.
But yes, Freddie Mercury, that is a good one.
It was actually kind of funny. So you get Garrett Cole tonight. As they can, it was a 4-game series. And as I said, 23-8. It's about as good a start as any team can get out. I mean, the Mets are 22-11.
Yeah.
Think about this.
Yeah.
And they would be trailing by a couple of games.
Look, they're stacking the wins now. I'm sure at some point there'll be a dry spell. And that's when, you know, people will give you the, well, it's an April game. It doesn't matter. They do. They add up over 162. And late in the season, if you're trailing or you are able to lock up a playoff spot early, these are the types of stretches and streaks or specifically this win you can look back on. And at the time, it's April, it's May now. Okay, no big deal. Long way to go. But they all count.
You know, and before we take a break, the one thing I found interesting, too, last night, the baseball. All we've heard about for the first six weeks of the season is there's something wrong with the baseball.
Yeah,
the baseball's dead.
I was thinking the same thing.
Now, it was 90 degrees.
Sure.
So it was warm for sure, and that's going to help. But the home run Judge hits.
Oh, my God.
Are you going to tell me he's going to hit that five? I mean, I guess it's possible.
Maybe not 500.
And even the Stanton one that you're referencing looked like a pop-up.
Yeah, and Donaldson's ball ends up deep in the seats.
Yes.
Off the bat, it's, you know, it's got a lot of height, but you're thinking, okay, maybe. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's what?
It just carried
15,
and carried.
20 feet, 30 feet beyond the fence. Yeah.
So that's a game where I would say the people that think the ball is dead, maybe it's just been the temperatures.
Maybe a combo, but most of the season is going to be played. Now, the middle chunk of the season,
in
most cases, is going to be played in warm environments.
No doubt.
I mean, I know Harold Reynolds did a breakdown on this with Judge about how he's, over the years, learned to pull the ball more. So, we know he can spray to right field and hit home runs. But seeing him turn on a ball like that and the walk-off he hit the other night,
yeah, for sure,
which was a pull job into the second deck, I mean, when he pulls his hands in and connects, it is a thing of beauty.
Last thing, and this contradicts now what I just said, just because I did hear this. I forget what game I was watching, but they said there was a study with exit velo and, you know, all this stuff, and length of how far the ball traveled, that they've got a couple that are identical to last year and the ball's not traveling as far. But I'm telling you, watching last night, I don't know. I don't buy it. I think it's more temperature based than anything.
Yeah, maybe somewhere in the middle.
So,
I mean, it's the Yankees and it was 91 degrees. They've got some mashers, as we know.
They got a couple.
Yeah.
They got a couple.
115 mile per hour exit velos.
Quick break, 5:17. We are just getting started. A lot to do. Coming up next, Chris will sing Cool Games. We're going
to
pick. What's that?
Need to freshen up on the lyrics
here.
You usually I just watch Al sing.
Just sing Cool Games. You'll be fine. You got 5 minutes to figure it out. We'll do that next. We'll also talk about the Mets who won yet again, and the NBA playoffs. The 76ers and James Harden are out. How is it possible James Harden can play 45 minutes and shoot the ball 9 times?
One in the third, one in the fourth.
Disinterested, perhaps? Sounds about right. We're coming right back on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Come on, you listen to this. All right, 25 minutes to 5. What do you say? It is a Friday. I'd call it a summer Friday, but the weather sucks again today. So be it. Hope you enjoyed the last few days. Jerry and Chris in for Al, who is out. He will be back on Monday. He does not have COVID, as he tweeted. He got his PCL or PCR or PC something test back in the middle of the night when he walked his dog. Usually we do this in the fall, and the Mets won. We'll talk about that at some point. We'll get to the NBA playoffs, Rangers tonight. We talked about the Yankees already, and usually this happens when we get to the fall. And this really is an Al Duke special. However, he's not here. And we got the NFL schedule released last night. And so only appropriate that the guy who is filling in for him
big moment
takes the reins. And so I present to you for the first time in 2022, for the new season that is, Chris Lopresti and Cool Games. Hit the music.
Time for Cool Games. CeeLo and Jerry, they've got those cool games. There you go, Jerry.
Next verse.
There's more?
Yes. That's fine. That's good enough. All right. So that wasn't terrible, to be quite honest. You didn't draw it out like Al does.
Yeah,
but that's
I know.
Fine.
Well, I'm not a professional like Al. I'm a professional. I'm the professional.
That's funny. I just thought it was real for a second until I realized it was the drop.
Yeah.
All right. So just a couple.
I'm the pro.
That is awesome.
So be quiet, sit back, and let me educate you.
I talk, you listen. Yeah. All right, so just a couple here. We're not going to run through the whole schedule clearly, yeah. But a couple of notable things came out. Cool game, not a cool game. When you look at the schedule and you see Bucks, Cowboys, Sunday Night Football, Week 1.
That's a cool game.
It is.
Didn't they play Week 1 last year, but
that's
in reverse,
why I don't
right?
like it. Yes.
Now, it was in Tampa last year. It's in Dallas
and it was
this year,
Thursday
correct?
Night Football that yes. opened the season.
Right, yes, that was the opener. Yes. I
no,
mean,
it look, is. It's great.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, we've seen this before.
Kind of.
Okay. That's why still, yesterday when the leak came out about Chiefs-Bucks week four, I was kind of like, oh, okay. We knew they were playing each other already.
Yeah, no,
so.
I know. The two locals will open. The Jets at home to the Ravens, and the Giants open on the road somewhere in Tennessee. Cool games are not to start.
I would say Jets, cool game. Giants, not as much. Because I'm curious. Here's why. The Ravens, some of the changes they've made. You've got some weird stuff going on with Lamar Jackson in this offseason, his contract situation, and also, I like that. I would say this. Yesterday there were what turned out to be false rumors that Jets Patriots were going to be the first Sunday night game.
Right.
Like BT
wrong.
Got some sort of leaked schedule.
Right.
And he wasn't the only one. And I was like, wow, that's pretty juicy. You know, it's
the Jets have one. They have one primetime
and
game.
And it's a Thursday
it's
nighter in December week. Against Jacksonville. Right?
Yeah, you know what week that is, though.
I don't.
That's the Christmas Eve, Christmas Day weekend, December 22nd.
So they don't play on Christmas Eve.
They don't. Those are the two teams that avoided. I got to see what the Monday night game is. I'll get to that in a second. They avoided Christmas Eve, Christmas Day.
All right.
Just a couple more. The Thanksgiving Day lineup. Cool games or not. Buffalo at Detroit. It's Detroit. No.
No.
So forget that.
No.
Giants at Cowboys.
Sure.
And then New England. And I hate the third. I do. I hate the Thanksgiving night game.
Yeah.
New England. Now, again, who knows what these teams are. But right now, New England at Minnesota.
No. I saw that yesterday.
Doesn't do it for
Doesn't
you.
Do it for me.
Fine.
As a night game. I mean, listen, it'll be on.
Where you
the Vikings
shopping.
Do nothing for me. I mean, look, I don't want to go down the Kirk Cousins rabbit. They just don't. They don't do anything for me.
But you like Giants Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, we always like Giants Cowboys. So as the middle game on Thanksgiving, where I'm going to be watching anyway, yeah, why not?
Now,
when's the last time either of the locals played on Thanksgiving? I don't remember.
Well, I know the Jets played the Cowboys on Thanksgiving several years ago.
Eddie's right. The butt fumble. That was the Thanksgiving night game.
Right.
Maybe that wasn't the most recent one between the two teams, but for the Jets, and I made this note in the off, that's the last time the Jets played on the Sunday night package NBC. Obviously, it was Thanksgiving night.
Right.
They haven't been on NBC in primetime since the butt fumble, which is 10 years ago this Thanksgiving coming up.
Then the Christmas weekend that we talked about, Jets-Jaguars, that's the Thursday night matchup on the 22nd.
Is that here or there?
It's here.
Okay.
Here's where the Giants really get screwed. So they're on the road for Thanksgiving. Fair enough. It's in Dallas. It is what it is.
Oh, they're playing the following Thursday?
But then they get a road game. No, I'm not even saying that. They get a road game on Christmas Eve.
So
now it's 1:00, but at the end of the day, they're in Minnesota. By the time you get back from that trip.
Oh, you're just saying from a holiday standpoint. They've got to play on Thanksgiving on the road.
It's one thing to be on the road Thanksgiving. If
Christmas Eve
you're
going to
make them
well.
Play on the 24th, make them the home game at 1:00.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the the analytics that go into putting this whole thing together.
And ironically enough, they're playing Minnesota, who also should be home on Christmas Eve since they're playing on Thanksgiving night.
Right.
But the fact that you have them together, I think, kind of sucks. The Christmas Day lineup we did learn. So we knew about Denver and the Rams. The other two games, cool game or not, Green Bay at Miami, early on Christmas Day, 1 p.m.
No, because I'm not a Tua believer.
And then the night game that I was so fearful of, Christmas night. Not fearful. Not, yeah, that's, yeah. No, it was the Christmas Eve night.
Yeah.
The Christmas Eve night one is the Raiders and Penguins. That would be something.
That would be real interesting.
Raiders Steelers in Pittsburgh.
I guess. I don't know what the Steelers are going to be yet. I don't know who's playing quarterback. I don't know.
The Monday night game, the other team that avoids, you have the Jets and the Jaguars avoid the holiday. Colts and Chargers avoid it. They get the 26th, the Monday night game on the 26th.
That's a good, I like, it's a cool game.
That's not terrible.
Speaking of the Colts, real quick,
yeah.
Only just because you bring them up, I saw this yesterday because, you know, they had another retread quarterback, Matt Ryan. So Dallas Clark, the former Colt tight end, was on Sirius XM NFL radio and passed along a line from a conversation he had with Michael Pittman Jr., who's the, you know, impressive wideout for the Colts. And he said Pittman told him he didn't know what they were missing until Matt Ryan arrived.
Really?
So how about that? He's made an impact already in the offseason on that locker room, apparently.
What does that say about Carson Wentz?
Exactly. Exactly. Or even Philip Rivers to a lesser extent, because it wasn't that Pittman's rookie year.
Maybe.
It must have been, because last year was Rivers played the 1 year.
I think
year.
You're right. Yep.
Pittman's second year was Wentz, and now he's got Matt Ryan.
But I'm more like Rivers at the end of his rope, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, like for Carson Wentz, but in terms of age and a career.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz might be at the end because he's not any good.
Oh, from Wentz's standpoint, Ryan's maybe not in his last year, but he's on the back nine of his career.
But think about where Wentz was the year the Eagles win the Super Bowl before he gets hurt.
Right.
On a track for, as Boomer would say, was in the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
Gets hurt. They win the Super Bowl with him on the sidelines. And you look at what his career has turned out to be.
Completely deteriorated.
It's nothing.
Right.
And then comments like that, oof. That is rough because that says a lot about him.
There's
as much
been enough
as does
of
Ryan.
That now, not just there, but also in the way things ended in Philadelphia.
Yeah, really
so,
interesting.
So, I mean, maybe third time's a charm now with Washington. Who knows? He had that matching suit with all the Washington colors, the commander colors for his press conference, which I was impressed by. I don't know what that means, but
not much.
He's got a lot of things to answer reputation-wise, both on and off the field.
All right, quick break, 5:33. Very well done with the first cool game. No?
It was all right.
You weren't happy with yourself.
Well, but you have to do the end of it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Ray, sing it again.
What was it? That was cool games?
Yes.
That was cool games. Thanks for listening to us talk about cool games. Change the lyrics there a little bit. Went with my own version.
Sinatra, you are not.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be no better.
I don't claim to be.
I would be no
now,
better.
Now, you get a few alcoholic beverages in me at a karaoke bar, it might sound a little
bit
better.
Are you a karaoke guy?
I haven't done it since I've had kids.
What would be your go-to?
I don't even know.
What's your favorite song that you know every lyric to?
My favorite song
A song that you know every lyric to.
Lyric to. Oh, that's a tough one, Jerry. Let me think about that during the break.
We're coming back.
It's a lot to choose from.
Mets, Sixers, NBA playoffs, Rangers
Let's
still
go,
to come.
Let's go, Rangers!
Yeah, that's coming up next. Warm-up show till 6 on The Fan.
Yeah, this not compared to the last rejoin. This pales in comparison.
All right, 20 in front of 6. We take it to the top. G joined us then.
This would not be on my karaoke list, whatever
no,
this
I don't know what it is, but whatever. we discussed the Yankees. We got the Rangers tonight. Not to say a whole lot on the Mets, just that they win another series. Nice ho-hum victory.
All you need.
Taijuan Walker, who really has not been very good, was yesterday.
Yeah.
Didn't have the strikeout pitch going.
Efficient, though.
But he was good, and he got through 7 innings or whatever it was.
It was like 85 pitches.
And I saw one of the, I forget who it was, one of the beat reporters on Twitter basically said Mark Canha has only played 3 of the last 7 games. Why exactly? He was the offense yesterday.
Yes.
And he was outstanding, but it's just, it's one of those things where, you know, in the past, perhaps this is a game maybe they lose against a bad team. And I know that the biggest storyline or highlight from this game is the double play.
The obscure double play, yeah.
Right, which was the You had Soto.
5-6-1-9-6.
Right. Soto gets tagged out on the, I don't even want to call it a rundown, but he gets caught at third.
It was.
Then the over.
Yeah.
But it wasn't much of a rundown.
No.
Then the overthrow, and then it was Bell. Josh, it was Bell, second. Yep. I would have run too.
Right.
Great job by Marte being there and backing up that throw.
Right field. Yep. There's the fundies again from Buck.
Yeah.
And by the way, you brought up the Canna question. Did you catch Buck's answer?
No, I did not.
He had everyone ready. Like, why is he only, you know, why is he sat three the last 6 days? Well, so he could be rested to hit a home run today. Like, he's very sharp and on top of these things, man.
When he was with Baltimore, I used to go for Buck sound for, you know, if it involved them in any specific way. Because before the last couple of years where they were terrible, they were good.
Well, yeah.
And
didn't they win the division one year?
Yeah, I mean, they were
played the Yankees in the, well, there was a year they
for
played,
a few years there.
Was it a division series? Whatever. Go ahead.
Might have been. Point is, I used to go back and I used to get the Buck post-game interviews with Gary, not the media stuff, with Gary Thorne on Mason.
Gary Thorne's my guy.
And so I was always taken by how professional Buck was, and I used to think, boy, he even answers the dumb questions and doesn't make the reporter look. Now, I can only imagine what happens when the camera's turned off, like, hey, you idiot.
Maybe not. Who knows?
But I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was always drawn to him in that very professional would, I mean, he might look at you sideways once in a while with a dumb question, but you could tell the relationship he had with Thorne. But, yeah, I mean, you always get the sense he's going to have an answer for whatever you ask him.
Yep.
And that has been the case so far, and they're winning a lot of games.
Now, I know, you know, he didn't have any connection to the Mets until taking this gig, but been in the game for such a long time, and Gary Thorne, heck, was calling Met games in 86,
sure,
and maybe even before. So two guys, I'm sure, have known each other along the way for many years. Obviously, that helps.
Speaking of calling games, before I move on to the basketball, because I always forget this. So with Bob's last full-time day, his last shift, I guess it was. Some of you guys were playing some clips in the newsroom.
Yeah.
And I think it was maybe it was the Randall Simon, I don't forget.
Yeah.
But with all the clips, there was one where it goes back to the stadium, and it's Gary and Howie in the booth. And
That was the Randall Simon one, when okay, we still had the Mets on the fan.
I am so used to Gary on TV. Yeah. I forget that he was in the radio booth with Bob Murphy and Howie back in the day.
Well, what year did SNY begin? I don't even remember now.
I feel like
2006.
Okay. So that clip we discovered was from 2003.
That's 17 years he's been doing TV.
Yeah.
And I forget that prior to that, he was actually on the radio. And I thought it was amazing. And I remember when I think back, why Gary to TV, not Howie, when Howie was doing the Islanders on television. And yet they went with Gary, who was, I mean, radio-wise, was unreal.
And didn't Howie used to do TV when they were on Fox Sports?
On Sports Channel. Was it Fox Sports?
Or Fox Sports New York, I think,
yeah, it's
right?
Possible.
It was
all
of them at different times.
Oh, okay, there you go. Should we play the Randall Simon?
Go ahead, if you got it,
Sal wanted it, and they cut out the best part. Eddie, you have it there? The extended cut?
Bases loaded, nobody out. Bobby Abreu coming up. We'll pause for station identification on the WFAN Mets radio network.
Yankees lead the Blue Jays 5-4 in the sixth. Jason Kidd stays in New Jersey. Alonzo Mourning's coming to New Jersey. Randall Simon suspended 3 games for whacking the sausage. More later on WFAN New York.
Gary Cohen, Howie Rose with you from Shea Stadium in New York. Top of the fifth inning. The Phillies lead the Mets 4-1. Bases loaded, nobody out, and a big test here for Aaron Heilman as he takes on Bobby Abreu.
Still laughing.
Abreu doubled to left and drove in a run on the first.
So, you know, Gary is professional as they come. I mean, I know they have fun in the SNY booth
for
now.
Sure.
But in that case, in that situation, you know, you don't want to give it away. Bob delivers the line.
No, very straight.
Yeah, very straight. You'd never know. And he got Gary, which is awesome.
Oh, he did.
Yes. And probably Howie, too. But Howie didn't have to speak there in that moment.
He could turn his mic off and look at Madge.
Right. Or maybe he was the one that took his head. You heard the little.
Yes.
That might have been Howie stepping away to get himself back in order.
Completely off topic. But hearing that, that's the day. And I never realized that until this very moment. That was the day Kidd decided to re-sign with New Jersey. And I remember thinking, they are going to win multiple championships.
Yeah. Whoops.
And the whole Alonzo Mourning thing, I remember thinking this is going to be great. And then he had the kidney issue and everything blew up.
The time capsule for you there.
Holy my. Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
That is a long time ago now.
But that was, and you were touching on it with Sal, and, you know, people, I think, over the last few days, or certainly when they watched Bob with Mike and Chris, get a feel for how passionate he was about the Mets. But the Yankee side of it that those of us here in the newsroom got to see over the years, and what I one of the highest compliments you could pay to Bob is listening to his updates. You know,
you would never know.
Never knew.
No,
that.
You would never know.
And
absolutely.
Him, you know, delivering that line with a straight face is another example of him being the professional that he is.
I think in all the years, so I've been here since 97, so 25 years with Bob, and I haven't seen him in a while, obviously, because of the pandemic and everything, but and doing this shift, I haven't seen him because of our, but for a while, I used to see him every day, and one disagreement I had with him, only one, and it was Yankee related, and I'm not a Yankee fan, I don't care, but I remember, what was the year where they were unbelievable but were trash in September? You remember that, where they were awful down the stretch? They had wrapped things up. It was over.
What, like, give me a, how long ago are we talking?
I would say somewhere between, it had to have been somewhere between 2003 and 2007.
Okay, because I think, didn't the year, forget if it was the year that they beat the Mets in the Subway Series, if I'm not mistaken, they stumbled down the stretch. Could
it
be
they
that
really
long
did
ago?
In the
maybe
Subway
it
Series
would
year.
Be that 2000.
Maybe it was, because I was working overnight then, too.
I believe they won less than 90 games that in the regular season that year.
Yeah, but I feel like they had built up a big lead, though.
Well, they might have. Maybe the division wasn't any good. I'll take a look at that right now.
But I remember him saying,
yeah, they were 87 and 74. Let me look.
Yeah, you got to look at the game by game, though.
Let me see.
Because I feel like the division was wrapped up, and they were terrible down the stretch. And I remember him saying, you know, this is going to be awesome. The Yankees just backing in like a loser team. And I don't know why that was like timeout. They've got all these wins. Like, they did their job already. It was the only time we had, like, a big disagreement in the newsroom talking about the Yankees. Like, he was having great joy.
Of course, Yankees, yeah.
Which right. I totally understand. But the characterization that they were, you know, just backing in. Well, no, they did the work to get in.
Yeah.
It just wasn't ending so great for them.
Let me see here. I'm looking at September.
Is that?
Yeah, they lost. So I don't know if that's the year you're talking about.
It might be.
But they were, let's see, Fleas just gave me a number. I'm looking here now at 85 and 61 on September 16th.
Yeah, this is probably it then.
And then the rest of the way, they won two games and had one, two, three, four, about 15 losses.
Yes, that is
so
it.
There you go.
Like, they were in great shape. They had run away with it, and they ended up being just mediocre with the record. That had to have been.
And that was the year, I forget if that was the year they were down 2-0 in the division series. They went five games with the A's. They might have been, they I'm sure trailed. I forget if it was 2-0.
Was that the Jeter play that year?
With Mussina? I don't think so. I think
that was
the following season. Yeah. Mussina didn't come. Wasn't that Mussina's first season, I think?
Got it.
Was 2001. He got there on the back end,
and then
they didn't win. But then in the ALCS, when they beat the Mariners, was the David Justice home run. Michael Kay, get your tokens ready, be boarding the subway. But going into that postseason, they were not in good shape because of the way they played down the stretch in September.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we only have a couple minutes. I do want to just touch on this, though. So before we take a break, I did not see this game. Obviously, it was on the Yankee game. So the Sixers lose in Miami. Two thoughts here. Number one, the Miami Heat as the one seed are legit. And people, and we had this conversation, I had this conversation with Al. If I put four or five teams in a bowl and said, you tell me who the one seed out of this, and I made him do it, and he picked like Miami fourth or fifth. I'm like, no, the Heat are the one seed. They just, and I know Embiid wasn't there for the first two games.
And wasn't himself.
And that was the injury last night. They had another injury last night, and Harden's done nothing.
Yeah.
Like, the Heat have been, they're the best team no one talks about.
Yep.
As they just win games. And Jimmy Butler, I heard one national, I forget who it was. I think it was on the CBS Sports Radio Network, said that the Heat lack a star. I'm thinking, Jimmy Butler is a star. You want to tell me he's not LeBron James? That's fine.
It's because he's old
the
school.
Guy's tremendous,
well, we heard
though.
The clips this week about, let's play, you know, it's not always flashy. Now, I know last night he had a flashier game because he scored 32 points, but he has that old school mentality. And, you know, when he was with the Sixers, they decided not to keep him. And there was the embrace with Embiid after the game last night. And, hey, love you, respect you. But he has a chip on his shoulder, always has.
For sure.
And you get that sense with their team overall because of, like you just said, people don't talk about them as much.
And lastly, if I would have told you when the trade was made that it would end this way for Harden this year, would you have believed, for real, would you have believed it?
I wouldn't have. Because, but this is who he is in the postseason. It is. Now you want to tell me, listen, if Embiid doesn't get hurt and he's 100%, maybe the series goes differently. But, I mean, Harden had his opportunities to step up, and he did in one of the games when Embiid was down. I get that. But last night, again,
just elimination game, though.
And they're on their home floor last night, and he takes one shot in the third and one shot in the fourth.
Fat.
So, just to recap, Ben Simmons didn't want to shoot last year.
Right.
They trade Simmons for Harden, who doesn't want to shoot this year.
Who, at his height, was a prolific volume shooter.
He was a ball hog.
Right.
All right, quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. We've got G coming in at 6 o'clock as well. Right now on Odyssey Sports Minute, it is Zach Davies. Thank God it's Friday.
Penguins Zach playing the Raiders.
Gelb, Lakers don't need advice from Dr. Phil.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, got about a minute or so. G is in the studio as we get set for a summer Friday. Not so much weather stays. Yankees won, Mets won, Sixers out, Mavericks impressive. And did you see this? What are we still talking about this stuff for?
I know.
This Cashman Crane Astro, yeah, just enough.
And where's the audio? I want to play it. Is it?
Yes, there.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that yet. Okay.
Yeah, you just Google it.
Well,
right
yesterday
up.
There wasn't. About the judge
no, I
stuff.
I know that.
So
I'm
read I read the article and I hadn't quite yet got
there's
around
also
to
a very cool site. Yeah, you probably heard it. YouTube. A lot of stuff there.
All right, wise guy.
WFAN and WFAN FM and HD1 New York.
An Odyssey station.